And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. And today we're going to be talking about Burundi and Syria. The general notion is that there is a regime change operation underway, of course, in both places, as we know. Of course, the United States boldly says so. And periodically sort of take two steps back. But then they renew the attempt to remove the government of Syria. And there is a similar exercise going on in Burundi, which gets less attention. We'll be talking to Steve Gowans about Syria and about some of the people who sort of front the position for the U.S. In the political world, namely some people self-identified as socialists, which is kind of funny. And then we'll be talking to our good friend, Mr. Tazira, a Burundian-American who knows a great deal about his country, more than the New York Times, I guarantee you. So those will be our guests, and those are the topics. And I want to just say at the top here that we're going to do a little sports and entertainment. Go and see Dalton Trumbull. It's a great film. And in Toronto, I saw it at the Carlton. I hope it's still running there. I wish it was going to be shown year-round. It's a special film telling us about the history of the Hollywood 10 and but it's a story of Dalton Trumbull, who experienced the blacklist because of his alleged political views when the House Un-American Activities Committee and others decided to shut down all progressive thought and work in film because U.S. Foreign policy had changed, and it was so they cleaned house. And that element of the story isn't treated as well as it might have been. But my gosh, when you get a film like Dalton Trumbull, which stands out, the name of the film is Trumbull. His full name was Dalton Trumbull. But Trumbull lets you see how Hollywood works. It lets you see how people perform under stress when they have their principles at stake, and then they have their stakes at stake, and they have to think about what they're going to do. And it involves several very well-known people who aren't named in the film. Edward G. Robinson was one of the great Hollywood actors. He was a very progressive man, and he believed in, as did the others, in trying to bring equality in America, fighting racism, fighting on the side of labor and all this. But when the hammer came down, he had a nightmare experience where he was part of the group that was going to resist. But, you know, you put people in a pressure chamber and funny things happen. So we experience it with him. And there's a gifted actor who plays Edward G. Robinson. Forgive me for not knowing his name, but it doesn't really matter. Go and watch him act, and then you'll want to see him again and again, because his character has to go from believing firmly one thing and then having a loss of nerve, and then, of course, going through a process of self-loathing and then loathing those who got him into this problem. And then, of course, as it all unfolds, it unfolds into a victory for Dalton Trumbull, in that eventually his gifts were recognized and his name was put back on a famous film called Spartacus. And it is a period, and you could look at Trumbo, and you could then also look into the story of Kirk Douglas and others to really – it's a good starting point for us. And as Gore Vidal said, if you want to understand America, you have to study Hollywood. And so this will tell you a great deal. And also really heartening is the figure of John Wayne, who appears in the film, and we see him for what he was, a bully and a noisy fake. And there's a nice exchange between Dalton Trumbo and John Wayne. This in the early 50s, where John Wayne says to Trumbo, you know, you had to go back to Russia. And so Trumbo asks him about, since he believes so much in American freedom, where was he during the war? Because the people that he's blacklisting all served somewhere in the fight against fascism. And where did he serve? And you really must understand, John Wayne did all his fighting in on the beaches of California and did not go and got away with this because whose image of the American, you know, fighter of World War II? It's the movies he made. And, it you know, you have to think about that and how that fits in with the narrative that America's created, that a guy like Wayne could be bullying Dalton Trumbo and others and wanting them all to be arrested and just have their lives and their families destroyed when he himself didn't serve. And so it's nicely done, and it needs to be told. I was in the Marines, I mentioned occasionally, but one of the things that we used to say to one another, if there was a guy in the platoon who was noisy and over the top, some people would say gung-ho or too gung-ho, we would say, don't be a John Wayne. And we meant it as an insult because we all understood that he was a phony. He'd certainly never been in the Marines. And that's nice. Of course, I'm being heavy about it. The film just touches it in such a way that you get the picture. I would say, that, of course, that the movie is for mature audiences. By that, I mean people who think. And you might, if you're, for example, if you're with a younger child in your family, you might put your hands over their ears when it's mentioned that Dalton Trumbo was indeed a communist. I have never heard that in a film in modern times that I'm aware of, where the character who is okay, is decent, is a good guy, and is against bad guys, and they say, his daughter says to him, Dad, the newspapers say you're a communist. And Dalton Trumbo says, and she says, are you? And he says, yes. So then she says, golly, well, is mom a communist? And he says, no. She says, am I? I tell you, by the way, this is a heartbreaking thing to watch, but it's brilliant. And then Trumbo said, well, I have to give you the test. And then he says, if you came to school and you had your lunch as usual, and then your friend, who usually had a lunch, doesn't have one because they don't have the money in the house, what do you do? And she says, well, I share it. And he says, well, don't be in a hurry. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you just wouldn't be associate with her anymore. Or you might lend her something at 60% interest. You know, there's other options. And she says, no, you know what I do. I share it. And he said, well, you might be a radical. He says, we have to keep an eye on you. Anyhow, Trumbo. I know it's going to be playing at the is it the Ronce Cinema or something? I think I got that right, on Roncesvalles. And I see the poster up for it. And I hope it's still at the Carlton. The film has not been promoted that much. It got nice reviews, some interesting comment. But, you know, I thought it was a pretty good blow to the gut of arrogant Hollywood. And so maybe some of the moguls, as they called them, weren't all that happy with it. It didn't open in all the big cinemas across North America. It opened in a lower percentage than usual for a film of this quality. So that's that. Go see Trumbo. Now, I want to say something about the football, because here I know I have everybody's ears, because football is a national, as some people say, the religion. I noticed, for example, last night there were two games. They left 4 hours out of the Sunday in the evening for those who still practice Christianity. They said, well, you Christians, now that we've had our pagan exercise, you can have 4 hours to whatever it is you do. But everybody else is screaming about football. But we all know that the Washington Redskins, I hate to say the name, but that's the name of the football team, has been asked by Native Americans, please don't use that name. And the owner, who is not a Native American, says, I'm going to do it anyway. So there's been an issue. Washington happens to be a southern city and was known as one of the franchises that was the least cooperative in trying to desegregate football, professional football, saying one of the last. So there's always a question mark over that city and their sports franchises. Anyway, I just noticed something, that they got beaten yesterday, which I applaud, since they were beaten by the Green Bay Packers, who's the only football team in America, North America, major sports enterprise that is owned by the city of Green Bay. Think about it, Toronto. Wouldn't it be great if we actually owned the team as opposed to whoever those guys are? Anyway, so Green Bay wins. And on the playing field, the third starting quarterback was the number two talent of the Washington Redskins. And that's because the coach decided his best quarterback, the man with the most talent, and who has proven it, Robert Griffin III, wasn't even suited up because they thought he had an attitude problem. And the whole city got on his case. And basically, he'd been run out of town. I saw him about 2 years ago give his life in a playoff game. He was injured badly, but he was the best guy they had. And so it was late in the game. They had a chance. He had to be out there, but it was going to cost him a leg. I watched him. He could barely walk. So he made one last effort, and it was like watching a terrible B movie because someone hit him and he couldn't get up. That was Robert Griffin III. I thought he was about as brave a thing as I ever saw in my life, and I said to myself, watching him play, please don't do this. You don't have to do it. That coach wants you to go out there. The fans want you, but you're going to get hurt. And he was badly hurt, and it cost him a lot of time in rehab and everything else. But anyway, they decided, the white management in Washington, that this guy had the wrong attitude. And so they said, we got to – a B-level quarterback. We're going to get behind him, and the team will get behind him, and we'll get rid of Robert. Well, they did, and they got as far as you can go with a B-grade quarterback. They got beaten by the Green Bay Packers. Oh, happy day. So, anyhow, we will – that's football. But the season isn't over, as you know. Actually, the real season is just going on now. It's called playoffs. The people who make money off this stuff have discovered you can have two seasons. One is the one where you sort of play like, and the players try not to get killed so that they can survive to playoff time. And then when you have playoffs, the real guys show up. And playoffs are very often don't resemble the real season. So if we entered any one idea from all this today, we'll say cities, if people say, that's our team, I live there in that city and that's my team, they ought to consider doing what Green Bay did, which is own the team. That way, when you say that, people won't be able to laugh in your face. It's one of the saddest things to watch is when franchises are moved and all those guys with painted faces and costumes are standing there watching the buses drive away because they don't have any say in it at all. Not a nickel's worth.